I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't say you never get anything for free. You can get a free 30-day trial of Love Film, the one-stop shop to rent films and games online simply by going to thefootballramble.com/lovefilm. Films and games by post, or you can stream films on your PC, TV, PS3, and now on your iPad. To check the terms and conditions, find out more, and claim your free trial, go to thefootballramble.com/lovefilm now.
Bottoms up, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Football Ramble, and three's company, but four's a ramble because we've got Jim back from Edinburgh.
Yay.
Hello. I got out. I came back.
That sort of witty repartee.
Yep. Been flying up there. Made you a star up there. Well, my name's Marcus, and Jim's here.
Hello.
Pete's here.
Hello.
And Luke.
Checking.
It's lovely to have you back, Jim. It really
lovely
is.
To be back.
These two have been right rotters since you've been away.
Oi.
But we're going to start with an opening question from Stuart Applin, who's saying, if you could choose one player, just one, to move to England by Friday, which is, of course, when the window slams shut, who would it be and why?
Has Jim White confirmed that? Is that definitely when it slams? Yeah,
he'll be confirming that for hours at a time.
Friday. He's filming the VTs as we speak.
Yeah, he's like a kid in short trousers by the mantelpiece, crossing another day off.
I think people are gathering outside the stadiums.
Outside his house.
Outside his house.
Yeah.
It's the new stadium. It's the new St. James
Basically,
Park.
Sky Sports News is going to disappear inside itself. They're going to have a reporter outside Jim White's house to say whether he's been out or in or not.
Do footballers have to go to his house? Yeah. And deals have to be done there.
Yeah.
Jim White's house is a lot like the Sky Sports News studio as well. Like a spaceship.
Yeah, exactly the same.
I imagine that his house is just carved out the White Cliffs of Dover. The Jim White Cliffs of Dover.
He has a ticker on the bottom which basically says whether his dinner's ready and stuff.
That's just always in his vision.
Yeah. Peas, I'll be 5 minutes max. That's what it says.
Answer the question, Jim.
I would love to see Edinson Cavani join the Premier League.
Okay.
Not a rival of Arsenal, obviously. So I probably wouldn't want to see him join.
Sunderland or Aston Villa.
I would absolutely love it if Cavani went to Villa. Could you imagine that?
He wouldn't.
No.
Like a man missold a house. Oh,
yeah.
No.
But I can imagine him complaining about it really politely because he's such a nice guy.
You know what's a funny one, though? Is think of only a few years ago when Rubinho went to Man City. It was kind of like that.
Yeah, a bit weird.
Yeah. But they had the sort of financial thrust behind it. But I mean, I'd pick Cavani because he's a really sort of nice man. Got those cheekbones. He's just a really exciting player.
I'm pretty sure he might have, today even, signed a new deal at Napoli. So it's decidedly
Seems
less
unlikely.
Likely to happen. Yeah, but it could just be for the buyout clause. You never know. So it still could happen. If City break the bank.
If Villa or Sunderland really step it up.
Sunderland have already got their Cavani in the shape of Stephen Fletcher.
I like Stephen Fletcher. That's a good
for the bargain price of £12 million, Jim.
Yeah.
A knockdown sum.
Adam Johnson as well. That's decent late business from them, but that's not the question, is it?
No. So yeah, Cavani's a good answer, I think.
It's a decent bid. Pete.
I'd like to see Adriano in the Premier League. Just because I'd like to see how our fat guys, you know.
Hello.
How our fat guys sort of step it up compared to him, you know. He'd love a Cornish pasty.
Well, in case you haven't seen Adriano, ballooned.
He was big
when he was at the end of his kind of career. I shouldn't laugh, really. But
he's got emotional problems.
Yeah.
It's a very sad situation.
But I think what you're saying is, Pete.
So did John Prescott. He used to drink carnation milk. That's funny. Yeah. It doesn't matter what problems you got. That's funny.
Well, it would be nice to see a beefy man in the Premier League.
Do you remember that sort of DIY gardening guy, Tommy thingy?
Yeah.
Tommy Walsh.
Pints of Baileys.
Tommy Hammers.
Pints of Baileys, yeah.
Pints of Baileys with each meal.
Bloody hell. Yeah. That's the only alcohol you drink, isn't it, Marcus?
Imagine Adriana.
Disgusting.
Not even I could do that.
And I know Rupert, southamericanfootball.co.uk, Rupert did say this afternoon that Adriano turned up early for training today.
Did he?
To get rid of the flab. He's done it once, Rupert. No. You know. Well, if he does it tomorrow,
probably so late from the last one, it's just appeared that he's early for this one.
He's still out from the night before. Yeah. Might no point going out now. Yeah. Might as well get an hour on the training ground.
Do you still
get
breakfast?
A shower in?
Shower, load of aftershave, load of mints.
Yeah, that's
so emotional problems and struggle with alcohol.
Allegedly known as the Alan Brazil.
It's not allegedly.
I was going to say, it is.
Repeatedly fired.
Okay, so Adriano in amongst all that was what we got. Luke.
I'll go for a realistic one.
Go on.
Because you boys sort
of... Oh, no, come on, eh?
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Raquel, mate. No, not really. I would like to see Raquel, mate.
Yeah.
It's been the first window for a while.
He's playing for who, though?
Who was it last time? Birmingham City, you think it was.
West Ham, I think it was. Yeah. West, no,
it
that
was
would
West
be amazing.
Ham, yeah.
Allardyce is West Ham.
They're philosophical brothers, aren't they? Now, I think I'd like to see Jan and Villa, actually.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I think he could really...
To Arsenal, because there's...
I think Spurs have made a bid now, haven't they?
Spurs have been for everything.
But there's been talk of both Spurs and Arsenal being after him for, like, months, and nothing seems to have changed on
it. I think Spurs genuinely did table a bid because Huddleston's apparently off on loan to Stoke and
that's
and
a really strange one.
I know, yeah. So in Villa, who I actually think, I've seen him play a few times, could go on to be one of the world's best midfield players. I think he's got it all. And it'd be excellent to see him in the Premier League, actually.
They need someone in the position, to be fair. Yeah. Park is out, isn't he?
So in Villa.
Good. He kind of hasn't left England, but he's not playing. Joey Barton.
Yeah.
Like, sort of bring him back in.
Into the fold.
Yeah,
where though?
Just, like, and he would go on a massive rampage this time. Like, if we think we've seen him...
This time?
That's what I'm saying. You know?
I'd like to see him at Cardiff with Bellamy or something like that.
But yeah. England. He does specify.
Oh, does he? Okay.
But, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I'd just like him to go, oh, this is crap. And just the city would be like, yeah, I do.
He's getting closer and closer to England.
Yeah, he is. Brighton, maybe, would be his next step. Geographically. I'm going to give the points to Jim.
Oh, cheers, mate.
Cavani.
Favouritism, because he's back. He's just unfazed.
He's about to turn up, like Adriano.
Like a jilted lover. He's just walked through the door after a month away.
You've forgotten what it's really like.
Yeah.
Prodigal Jim.
Excitement.
The abuse will start again soon. No, all right.
But I love him! How are you, old friend? Now, let's go to the Premier League, where Swansea City are tearing it up. They beat West Ham United 3-0.
I did not see this coming.
like Gordon Bennett.
They really... beat them as well. You know, like a I don't know, boxer beats a rival. But really punished them.
Yeah, it was boys v men.
West Ham helped them quite a lot, though.
Boys to men.
That James Collins back pass was the worst back pass in Premier League history.
Well, I don't know. we haven't talked about Liverpool, Man City.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, right. That was in the top two worst back pass of the weekend, is what I meant.
But at least that man looks like a human.
Yeah, that's true.
Not a ghost. Just delightful little finish, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's such a quality player. Mm. Obviously, the first goal. Was it an own goal by the keeper? I don't think so.
It was on target, was it?
I think it probably just as well. But Swansea, like, what was it? Well, I think what was great was, you know, Allardyce. This is nothing against West Ham, but, you know, Allardyce, obviously, his brand of football. Maybe that's a little bit harsh and whatnot, but, you know, it was great to see a proper pass inside just take one of his teams to pieces.
What?
Swansea made 42 passes, I think it was a match of the day they showed at one point.
Yeah.
42.
Yeah, it's staggering. What must be maddening for West Ham fans is that Allardyce, when he came in, said, you know, we'll be playing my style away because we need to get the points, but at home we'll be trying to play the West Ham way, you know, the way that you guys want and you're accustomed to, and they're just not doing that. That was just a lie.
Because he couldn't exhume Bobby Moore.
Yeah. I've got mates who support West Ham and go reasonably regularly, so, but they've not played that way for quite a long time now. So I think, and don't forget last season, the fans would put them under so much pressure.
Yeah, they always do.
Yeah, it's
they do expect
the Wolves
a lot.
Thing. And I actually think, you know, and Jim C doesn't want to be harsh to West Ham. On this occasion, I'm fully happy to be harsh to West Ham because I thought they were absolutely awful all over the pitch. I watched the game, unimaginative up front, brittle at the back.
What did you think of Matt Jarvis?
He didn't do anything.
A couple of runs.
Yeah, good player, but sort of player like that. If you have a really bad performance and you get beaten all over the pitch, players like wingers are the first players to suffer, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, Jarvis won't have had much time to sort of, you know, meet up with his teammates. No. You can't judge him on that. But no. I think that's a good signing for them.
Did you see what he said?
I think he's a good player, yeah.
He's making the right noises. He said, it's a fantastic club, I'm pleased to be here. I know about Bobby Moore. I know about Bobby Moore and the history and the tradition that goes with that. He's dropped in Bobby Moore.
And West Ham fans all went, shush, we don't want to talk about that.
I think Jarvis will do okay there, but
I think he's a good player. You know?
Away to Swansea was always going to be a tricky one for them. Mm. So and they've got beaten, so they don't have to play there again this season.
Just on the note of Swansea, I mean, I know that they've, I don't want to take anything away from them because they've been excellent, but they've not really played anyone good yet. Mm. West Ham are a promoted team and they're a bit all over.
Eight goals in two games.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. QPR was shocking.
Two clean sheets.
Mm-hmm. It's worth pointing out with Swansea as well. You know, they've got a new manager. They lost some key players. They've got a degree of uncertainty in their own squad. You know, they've just adapted brilliantly.
Scott Sinclair hasn't played that much. It looks as though he might go to City.
Testament to how well they play against West Ham. I completely forgot Joe Allen's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, and Scott Sinclair didn't play it, even in the squad.
No, exactly, yeah.
Michael Edwards has got great hair as well.
Do you think it's a weird... Yeah, he has got... He's
got similar hair to you, that's why.
Not as thick.
I'll take that, but I don't think...
Do you think it's a weird one for Man City to sign Scott Sinclair when they've just let Adam Johnson go?
Absolutely.
Mm. I know they've made a bit of money on it, but it's not really about money for them, is it?
No. Mancini tends not to like the traditional kind of winger. Mm. I wouldn't say Scott Sinclair was, though.
Do you think it might just be that if you've got a player like Adam Johnson sitting on the bench, he's going to get pissed off and after a couple of years want to leave and think, well, got a couple of years of Sinclair being pissed off. It'll work when we need him. And
to be honest, mate, that's probably it.
Yeah, well,
that really is. I think it's, you know, I was talking to this on the way here to somebody, that Scott Sinclair, a player like that, you know, he's a young player, you want him to get a lot of football and who knows, in a few years he maybe could be quite something. I mean, he already is a decent player and see what he can do. And it goes to City. Will he play 20 games in the next 2 years?
Yeah, the thing with that, I mean, I'm sure he'll play that amount probably in the season, but there'll be substitute appearances and cup appearances. But the thing that I find really interesting about that is obviously Sinclair's had the same thing at Chelsea. He came through the ranks there, found it really difficult to get in. Obviously, you're going to back yourself as a player, but I think that's just a huge gamble. And, you know, he's got the experience of that sort of situation to know how it works. So I wonder.
It's true, isn't it? But never underestimate, you know, what it must be like for the champions of the Premier League to come along to you to say, well, do you fancy playing in front of 55,000 or whatever it is 100 grand
and in the Champions League and have a big payroll. I understand
all parties, you know.
So, well, I hope he does force his way into the team when he gets a good run, because I like him. I think he's a great player.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's move on to City then. It seems logical. They're playing with the back three again against Liverpool. They drew 2-2 in a very entertaining match, and Liverpool perhaps should have won it, Pete.
Yeah, they should have, apart from a silly back pass.
I say perhaps they should have won it.
I still back Tevez to kind of mess that up a little bit. I don't know why, because he's clearly the most comprehensive,
he's
complete
so ruthless
footballer ever. But for some reason I just thought, that's too much of a gift for him.
Do you think he's almost embarrassed? No, I can't. Yeah.
If you insist. I felt bad for Skirt.
Just give us a corner.
It was a very similar back pass to distance against Liverpool in the Cup semi-final last season. Yeah. But Skirtle absolutely powered a bullet header in before that.
It's
a brilliant header.
Watching the highlights of that, and it seemed really weird. Like, Liverpool doing really well start of the season, maybe they are sort of turning over a new leaf, and then that back pass went across. Before I hadn't seen the result, but you just knew. It was like, here it is, here we are, things are all normal again.
I was just sad that the camera would have to have a prolonged shot on his face, which I didn't want to see. Nobody wanted
scary.
To see that.
One of the most metal looking footballers you're going to get.
What a free kick from Suarez.
It was perfect, absolutely perfect.
He can't score from like 2 yards, but he can bang.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, Liverpool playing with the front three, and Sterling had a decent
performance. He was excellent.
Yeah, but should they play Suarez through the middle?
Suarez.
I think he's their most natural option there, isn't he?
Andy Carroll?
Yeah, Carroll's out of favour though, isn't he? Carroll's not going to be there for long. If he is, it'll be because they can't move.
Can Barini play out there? I suppose it's maybe.
I think Liverpool's, if you think of a former field players Liverpool got now, they've got Lucas, who's obviously now just strained his thigh, which normally happens when you have a serious
injury. Hopefully that's not a serious one.
Yeah, Sahin on loan.
That's a huge
Joe Allen and Steve Gerrard. That's a good former field players they got there.
Well, and they've got some decent attacking options now. I mean, and Liverpool were much better, you know, considering how. Well, they weren't that poor against us, but it was slightly unlucky, and it was one of those games that didn't go their way, and the sending off and the penalties and whatnot. But much better, and should have beaten the champions, you know. And I know it's early, it's, you know, argue it's silly season and all that, but still, it does look much better for Liverpool.
I think Liverpool tend to have, especially at home, Liverpool have got Man City's number. I don't think Man City have won many games there in years.
Yeah.
And so it proved again at the weekend.
But do you think...
It was a great game, by the way.
Do you think that's why City went for a back three, then?
Possibly, I'm not sure, to be honest. I thought they were going to be using their back three in Europe, and that's why they sort of... trialled it in pre-season.
But a lot's been sort of written about the back three, and it seems like a strange one. If you've got a squad like City's, because it is slightly more defensive, although maybe he wants the wider options going forward and whatnot, but is it a bit negative, though?
Yeah, but they're away from home against a good team who they've got a poor record against. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they don't want to give anything away needlessly. You know, they're under the spotlight, they've got new players to bed in, you know. Yeah, I think they need to be flexible in terms of their formation because they're competing on all different fronts. And also, teams are going to work them out a lot better than they did last year because they're going to be used to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're going to, you know, they're going to sit deep against them. We've seen that with all these sort of, like, you know, big sides over the years. And also, you know, it's been vogue in the like sort of past five seasons, really, or around about that time, to have the, you know, the 4-5-1 that changes to 4-3-3 when you've got the ball. And it's a natural tactical evolution sort of, or evolutionary reaction to that thing.
You know? Yeah. Right, well, okay. I suppose a few teams are doing it in Italy. It was a very popular formation last season and has proved to be.
Well, Conte's Juventus went unbeaten, you know, with it.
Well, that's very true. Barcelona, obviously, that's Barcelona. They've done it a number of times.
I think Sterling, by the way, needs to be singled out for special praise. He was absolutely superb. Yeah. You know, it's his first league start for them, I think, and he played without fear. You know, he was
nice to see an English player like a step over.
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't seen that since Joe Cole.
I think it was one of the players of Man City, I think it was Tevez, like, seeked him out at the end on purpose to get his shirt and stuff, to say, yeah, well done and stuff, which is a nice touch.
Yeah, one for the future. Hopefully Brendan Rodgers will nurture his sort of adventurous side as well.
Mm. Hopefully, yeah.
Who keeps on giving Tevez official Manchester City letters to put on his shirts?
I know, yeah.
Because I mean, they're losing letters at a rate of knots. It's terrible.
I think they can afford new ones. It's all right, yeah.
It should be,
but it's not like it's just scribbled on with a Sharpie. It's proper Manchester City pen letters.
Well, I think it's probably official Premier League lettering, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll not have this.
I hope they get a finite amount. And at the end of the season, they're going to run out. They only better put initials on the back of the shirt.
Torn. You're right. Paul.
Well, let's go across Liverpool to Everton, the blue half. They had an impressive win away to Aston Villa. Well, they were impressive in the first half, certainly. Everton, I mean, they've beat Manchester United, you know, decent away win at Villa. Is it ridiculous to suggest that they're top four contenders?
No, they've broken into the top four before. The only difference being from that time to now is that obviously it's a lot more competitive. So you've got Man City, you've clearly forced their way in there, and other teams. Like, I mean, you've got Chelsea, Man United, Man City, Arsenal, Spurs. And that's just for a kickoff then. Everton, it's basically four into a six if you're going to include Everton.
Sure, but that doesn't necessarily go against them because the others, everyone take points off everybody else.
Once you look at the other, you know, the cup competitions and that, their squad just isn't thick enough.
No, exactly.
And they haven't got the money to reinforce, and that's the main problem. I mean, they're relying on, you know, Fellaini's coming into form. You know, how much? 15 million? About
I think he's their record signing.
Cahill's starting to wane as well. He's been such a force for them for such a long time.
He's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah,
he's gone. I missed that one.
He went to somebody else.
Oh, somebody has been living under a Scottish rock.
welcome back, Jim. The other thing is, though, in their favour, I agree with what Pete's saying, he's absolutely right, but they traditionally start very slowly. Mm. And if they can start well, as they have done, and then have their traditional rally in the second half of the season,
they're laughing.
You never know. I mean, they've got the potential to do so. It's just where Pete's is where they've
done it before, under you know, a microscopic budget. But I agree with you, Luke. I think it's far more competitive now than it has been, and that they won't get a look in there.
I mean, there's a lot to admire about Everton, isn't it? Often people talk about the budget and whatnot, and it would be great if they could break into the top four.
And Pienaar, signing him back seems like a big signing for them. He's got a great goal.
Goal it was.
Yeah. He was such a loss, though. What a weird sort of time he's had away from
him. He sort of went into a completely different player, I suppose. Couldn't get in the team.
So much of that, though, is how Harry Redknapp just won't rotate a squad.
Yeah.
He was using the same players over and over again, burning them out. He had perfectly good players like Pienaar on there. I mean, it was easy to think, oh, Pienaar just turns out he's not that good. He was just a big fish in a small pond. He clearly was good. He was just badly, badly treated.
Yeah. And he got injured, I think, here and there as well, so it was tough. Mm. But Shay Given's error was monumental.
Oh, Shay.
God, that was real schoolboy stuff, that.
It was, Jagielka put a magnificent cross in?
Yeah.
I thought, he'll do that. Get him out wide.
Yeah, yeah. He'll do that. Brad Guzan's a good keeper. So, yeah, no, be surprising to that extent, if he dropped in there ahead of Given, because Given's a... I mean, to be honest, it's been a really bad few weeks for Premier League goalkeepers in general.
It has.
We've had a De Gea error, a Howard error, a Given error, 58 Rob Green errors. You know, so much going on. You know.
Well, let's move on to David De Gea, Manchester United. They beat Fulham 3-2. Oh, Team Fulham were close, weren't they?
Yeah. Went the goal up early.
They did. Yeah. Yeah, Duff got them on the go. And then Van Persie, Jim.
What a beauty.
Did you hear about that?
We've had discussions before where we're not... Generally, it's not liked if we use C-bombs on this show, is it? So I'm just leaving it at that.
It was a lovely finish. The way he stroked it, it was the stroke of an artist.
Well, I'll say it. What a crock. Yeah. It was a superb goal. And then they went 3-1 up. And then Fulham and Dembele came back. I mean, I loved it on Match of the Day. They showed Dembele's best bits and all. Yeah. So strong and paid. Like, it was ridiculous.
Mm. Transfer window open, Marcus.
Well, I said this all last season. You know, I was like, well, not all last season. But, he's quality.
Yeah.
He is quality. He's got all the attributes, and I'm amazed that nobody's picked him up. I mean, obviously...
there's a lot of buzz around him now, though, isn't there?
Now there is, yeah, but I'm so surprised.
You know, Fulham have signed a youth player called Moussa Dembélé.
What, same name?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The fans will know.
He's a regen.
Cat's out of the bag now.
It's a funny time of year for the smaller clubs like that, like your Fulhams and your Arsenals, because...
I'm just joking. Shooting fish in the barrel. Isn't
yeah. Welcome back, Jim. Again, but no, it's a fine time for those sort of clubs who know that they need to win games. They're under pressure, these managers, to pick up points, but at the same time, they only want their players to be good to a level. And they go, stop that now. Yeah. They don't want to be sold.
That's it.
Well, it's a shame when you get players not playing because they're clearly about to move. Like
Dempsey's nowhere near the team. He seems to be. I mean, have Fulham made an official complaint to Liverpool about tapping him out?
I think they have.
Like
they have. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's
good.
All sorts
it's about time more clubs did that.
Yeah, you're a fan of that, aren't you? You haven't lost your passion for that, Jim.
If you read that Secret Footballer book, he says in there, every single transfer he's known of has involved the club tapping out the player first.
Well, of course
interested.
It is.
It's really weird.
Of course it is. Yeah, I mean,
but I mean, what about that gash on Rooney's leg? That was nice. God, did you see that?
Got the wrong striker, didn't they? Yeah. Just to put it to bed on this, yeah. Robin. Yeah.
Operation RVP's gone awry. Yeah. Call it off.
When you look at that gash, it did sort of remind me of like a badly cut up lamb's carcass hanging in a butcher's window.
It's awful
to look at. He's got such a big thigh.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's a really unhealthy colour.
Big slab
you don't
of meat.
Want it inside out.
Yeah. No.
Big slab of meat. Because I actually initially thought, because the referee stopped it, and I initially was like, it's not head injury, what's he doing? Yeah. Play on. And I saw that half his leg was possibly hanging off. So it's fair enough.
Yeah, in the old days, they would have just packed that full of snow and carried on.
Yep. Yeah. Bit of spit on it.
Yeah.
Just rip it up, yeah.
Glue it up.
Fulham were close, though, weren't they?
Wrap it up with a bit of skin from elsewhere on the body.
Fulham were
close. Yeah, they were close.
They're looking all right this season so far.
I think they've got a decent chance of doing something all right. I think they can finish in the top half.
Mm. Well, Spurs are sniffing around Dembele. There was talk of maybe Genus going the other way. Mm. I think that would be a good bit of business for Fulham, because they're probably going
to
lose.
And for Genus as well. He needs to get away from Spurs.
He needs a move. It's about time.
Get away from Spurs. Yeah, that's a hefty leap, isn't it? Yeah. Physically. Needs to get away from the bright lights of London.
Yeah. No, you know what I mean. He's been treading water.
I'm joking. I'm just referring back to his goldfish bowl statement when he's in the castle. All that time ago.
Still bitter.
Do you know what I mean? Quickly, let's go to Norwich 1, QPR 1. It's more, I mean, you know, a point there for QPR is probably a good result considering their drubbing on the first day. There's been some funny goings on with goalkeepers at Queen's Park Rangers. Now I know what you're thinking. Yes, we saw the 5-0. Yeah. Well, actually, it goes a bit deeper than that, because Rob Green doesn't seem to be rated down there. Paddy Kenny left an answer phone message with one of the QPR training staff, reportedly, saying, hello, it's Rob Green's agent here. Just wondered how you got on today. Didn't see the effing score, but heard it didn't go too well. But never mind, Robbo's a good goalkeeper. Don't you worry about that. He's a good keeper.
It's just bizarre behaviour.
I don't get it. Bored.
Someone's been drinking.
Goalkeepers.
Yeah. I think he forgot halfway that he was pretending to be his agent, didn't he?
Yeah. Why would his agent really come and say, how are you getting on? I don't understand it.
Just go direct.
It's a strange one. But
one of the funniest
it's just a really shit prank.
Yeah.
He just comes up halfway through and starts giving a press conference. Yeah, but Rob's a great keeper. Yeah. I wouldn't want to step on anybody's toes. Yeah. I don't know where I am.
Bye. Sorry, I've got another call. Can I? Bye.
Hardly the jerky boys, is it?
Yeah, exactly. One of the funniest things I thought happened in the QPR game was when you see that Cito missed his penalty.
Yeah.
Right, so he missed his penalty and it was... for those who didn't see it, it was saved, and Zamora tapped
Zamora with the rebound,
finished the rebound. It's quite a nice finish, actually. Yeah. But when it went in, Cisse just started, got gutted about it, put his head in his hands, and was like, "Oh, I can't believe," like really annoyed about it. But you just thought, "Well, you saved your blushes there, pal."
Odd. But going back to the goalkeepers, there's talk of Julio Cesar
big signing,
joining Cupid. What on earth has happened there?
He's not been the, he's not the keeper he once was, but it's still a big move.
It'd be huge.
They've only just signed, they've literally just signed Robert Green.
I know. Imagine that. So that.
Do you think Paddy Kenny
must be
Julio
rubbish?
Yeah. Was that Julio Cesar ringing and pretending to be Paddy Kenny pretending to be Robert Green's agent?
Paddy Kenny pretending to be Julio Cesar's agent. I've got you a move lined up.
It would explain the poor English, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he would.
If they're embroiled in a relegation battle at the end of this season, QPR. If I was whoever the hell is financing that club, I'd be like, this is just a waste of money. Is Jesus, every single transfer.
It's just some errant Euro Millions winner, isn't it?
He's
I just
got the
don't know what
that.
They're doing.
Every time the window opens, they go, oh, God!
I read a report speculating that their wages are 183% of turnover at the moment. Because they've got such a small stadium.
Honestly, like QPR, more spotlights on that club, please. Because what on earth is going on in
that?
Look
at Carvalho as well.
Alone.
Yeah. It's still a big
but
move,
but
isn't it?
But those loan,
yeah, it is, yeah.
Those loan deals are really expensive. Part of the reason Arsenal pulled out of the deal for Nuri Sahin was that it was like it would have cost like $7 million over a season with wages and sort of a fee for the loan to start with.
Right,
it's like the stage show the producers, isn't it? Like, failure makes more money than.
And Real Madrid, weren't Real Madrid keen to like not do, not write in a permanent deal as part of it? So then they sort of put them off as well.
It was only
you get
an
nothing
option.
For it.
Yeah,
yeah. Real Madrid basically get a player loaned out playing high quality football, and they get him back for nothing at the end of it.
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't put the option to buy in, because they can refuse the option to buy, surely.
Who knows?
Yeah. We shall see what QPR conjure up in the next few days in the transfer market. Good win for Wigan away to Southampton. They've sold Victor Moses to Chelsea for $9 million. But look, you were noticing there was empty seats at St Mary's.
Yeah, I thought that was strange.
I thought it was very strange myself.
I mean, I realised that Wigan gave a lot of their tickets back, which you'd expect. It's a long trip, and Wigan aren't that well supported. But there seem to be gaps in the the stadium all around it.
According to some Southampton fans, that just simply wasn't true.
Yeah, well, first of all, people denied it, and they said, "Oh no, it's because the cricket was on." It's like, what are you talking about? The first home game in the Premier League for years.
An empty seat is an empty seat.
And to be, I don't want to sort of try and be.
The sea was pretty that day.
Yeah, I don't want to be accused of sort of like. Crass sort of point scoring amongst rival clubs, but the point is
in the point deficit, Luke, you're definitely nowhere.
But we've just been ducked another 10 points, so I need them back. No, but the point is that if it is the case that where it's so expensive that these fans can't afford to go to their first Premier League home game in 7 years, it's outrageous. It's poor, and I think it needs to be sorted out.
Yeah.
Back to the Moses thing, though. I just like the fact that Di Matteo, right up until a point, they announced that Wigan had accepted the bid for whatever money. He was denying. He'd even made the bid. Or they'd even made the bid. It was always biblical. Denies Moses. Denying
like,
Moses.
Like Iraqi foreign minister.
Yeah.
Comical
Alley.
We're not being invaded.
I thought Wigan's second goal was probably a foul as well, actually, Kone.
Did you?
Wrestled the guy to the ground, didn't he? Good finish.
Whoa, blimey. Yeah. Great stuff that was. And then we'll just, before we move on, we'll mention Chelsea beating Newcastle 2-0. Eden Hazard looking the business and linking well with Torres.
He's looking insane, isn't he? Insanely
looks like
good.
The best player in the league at the moment.
It's interesting with Moses signing as well. Chelsea have signed a lot of, and De Bruyne, even though he's gone out on loan, they've signed a lot of very sort of technical ball retaining players. Obviously, Juan Mata's already there. They're trying to do tiki taka, aren't they? It's clearly that's the model they're going to go for.
Oscar as well.
Oscar,
as well.
I wanted to say that obviously Arsenal drew 0-0 again. Someone tweeted me with a great shout for Vito Minoni to the tune of "I am the one and only." I am Vito Minoni.
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant if he sung that, wouldn't it?
True. Yeah.
If he sang it every time he made a save.
Yeah, so he never sung it.
It's motivation.
Two clean sheets.
Yeah. No, I don't think you played in the first game.
You missed us playing football at Regent Park at the weekend. And speaking of notable Chelsea footballers, I ran off half time to get a little Guinness of Coke, and who was there in Regent's Park cafe but Juan Mata.
Yeah. Getting tapped up by Pete.
Yeah. I was wearing a Newcastle shirt. I gave him a frown. He smiled.
So. He wanted to play, but he didn't bring a mate with him, and it would have made the teams uneven, so we couldn't have it.
Yeah. Well, you got to be fair to everyone, ain't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Treat everybody the same. And let's go to the Championship, which is always the most exciting, one of the most exciting leagues in England.
Brilliant the weekend.
It was fantastic. Yeah. There was Bristol City beating Cardiff City 4-2, hammering them. They look great at moments. And then Blackburn Rovers registered a win against Leicester City 2-1. Steve Keane was happy. But it was interesting that Blackburn's global advisor
Chevy Singh.
Yeah, I don't know why they've got one of them, but fair enough. He described Morten Gamst Pedersen as a pensioner.
What?
He's only 30.
Yeah. And he doesn't run much over 30.
Yeah. So he's their global advisor?
Not Gamst Pedersen.
No, but still.
Yeah, Chevy Singh. Yeah, yeah.
It shouldn't be undermining his own players around the world.
Okay, sorry, yeah, absolutely. And then Pedersen scored and celebrated with a walking stick.
That's pretty good. Nice.
I like that.
What a joke.
Yeah. Keane was like, it's just loads of banter.
Yeah.
That's how he kind of comes.
It's just banter. We won 7-0. We're already promoted.
You know, like when I was in that bar just shouting my mouth off for no reason.
That was banter as well.
Banter.
I wasn't peshed.
I've never been peshed.
So Blackburn, they're on the march. But the performance of the weekend, an individual was Tom Ince for Blackpool. 6-0.
Tom Ince, 6.
Yeah.
Ipswich Town, 0.
It's new star soccer stuff, those stats.
It was 1 goal, 5 assists?
2 goals, I think, 3 assists.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Last few matches, he's been involved in the last 5 goals. One way
I think from what I saw, and I saw the goals and all that sort of stuff, he was unplayable. Absolutely superb he was, all over the place.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think of how Liverpool, you know, could arguably do with a wide player or two, given who they've got as personnel there. And I know Sterling's done well, but we've got Downing in there and that sort of different people like that. Yeah, he went to Blackpool as part of the Charlie Adam deal. You know, he's a good young player. You know, he scored in the playoff final last season as well, if you remember.
Yeah.
And they could do with him there. It's looking like a terrible piece of business.
How old is he?
Oh, very young, like 20 or something.
But it's because what I like about it is that he's had that experience at Liverpool where he didn't play that many matches and he didn't have that great a time, that he won't be looking for a transfer to the Premier League like immediately.
That's
and he'll get that experience, because the Premier League, with the greatest respect to it, like it gives a shit. It's not really the place to, you know, to be a young player.
Absolutely.
To develop. You know, it's the Championship, it's France, it's Belgium, I don't know.
It's
a place like that. And I think it's heartening for him to be able to apply his trade down there.
Completely agree.
He's so good.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. Do you think the clubs are a bit put off, though? Because they think, if he comes and plays, his father, Paul Ince, will want to
turn up.
He wants to sit with the directors.
Well, he's obviously benefited from his father's in-depth tactical analysis, hasn't he?
Is that right?
Yeah. Especially the goals.
Sheffield Wednesday with a bit of late drama at Hillsborough in Millwall 3-2. It's good to see Wednesday up in the championship. I know Sheffield United won't agree with me, but I like that, though.
It was really close between the two last season, wasn't it? Sheffield United just missed out in the final, didn't they?
I'd love to see them both in the Premier League.
Yeah,
that would be glorious.
Well, you think Sheffield Wednesday, I think for the Sheffield Derby last season at Hillsborough, I think it was like 35,000 or something in League One.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they had about 26,000 there at Hillsborough. Now, bearing in mind, Hillsborough's what, 35,000, 38,000, something like that.
It's a big old stadium, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And they, you know, get them back up the top, you never know. You can pack that out. And then Bolton 2, Forest 2 was one that caught the eye, because Lewis McGugan with an early contender for goal of the season.
A rifle off the bar, wasn't he? Yeah.
Oh, my giddy aunt, that stayed in.
He's got previous, hasn't he?
Yeah.
McGugan, he can strike him.
Oh, that was absolutely fantastic. You know? So, the Championship, as you say, was superb on the weekend. And it's off and running. Well off and running. Now let's go to La Liga, where Luka Modric has joined Real Madrid in a deal worth reportedly $33 million. Thank goodness that's done.
They look short midfield players for me, Real Madrid.
Is that right?
I mean, I was thinking about it. They've only got Alonso, Kaká, Ozil, Granero, Diarra, Callejon, Di Maria, Modric and Kadira. And Sahin and Pedro Leon out on loan, so
it's the place to go if you want games, basically. But I quite like the fact
Thomas Vince maybe could go there.
I just like Paddy Kenny.
Yeah.
I just like the way that they sort of came out, like Spurs came out and went, "Yeah, it's a special relationship we've got with Real Madrid
what?
Now." In the same way that I've got a special relationship, or I had a special relationship with the school bully. He stole my sandwiches and refused to give them back. The relationship they got. Basically.
Also, I mean, I've got a special relationship with Zoe Deschanel. It works better for me than it does for her.
That was an odd one, wasn't it? Spurs like, we're pals with them.
That's embarrassing.
You imagine Real Madrid like making a joke at a bar and Spurs just going, good one, Real Madrid.
Do you want a drink? Do you want a drink? Do you want our best drink?
Yeah. Oh, you are the best.
Burn me with your cigarette.
Yeah. You can imagine. Mr. Modric. Who did you play for again? Who did we get it for?
Yeah.
But they lost to Getafe 2-1.
Saw it, yeah.
Spursman lost that match.
No, exactly. Yeah. They want a goal ahead as well, Real Madrid.
1 point from the opening two games. It's over.
James, apart from in patches against Barca in the Super Cup, they've not looked that good.
No, they haven't. That well, that's why Modric is there. Save the day.
Yeah.
Save the day. Barcelona did beat Osasuna 2-1. Messi with his second brace of the season. He's got a brace of braces.
Well, they went a goal down to Osasuna, who they absolutely pumped. Was it last season? About eight.
Yeah.
And Osasuna went through as well and hit the post, I think, to go 2-0 up. And then Barcelona turned it around and beat them 2-1.
With their funny away kits.
What? See, I'm on record.
Two-thirds yellow, one-third
orange.
It's
like a rocket Iceland-y.
Yep.
I'm on record happily saying it's the worst kit I've ever seen.
Without the purple head.
Yeah.
But I think
depending who's wearing it. You say Victor Valdez on the purple head, I'll tell you after that performance.
You say that was the worst kit you've ever seen. I'm just sort of thinking that we've not really had chance to, because it's kind of like a gradient, isn't it? It starts yellow at the bottom. And then I'm just saying that we've not had the technology for very long to make kits like that. So I'm just saying that perhaps
they're ahead of their time.
They're ahead of their time in the future. A lot of it won't be just, you know, like black and white stripes. It could be like a kind of like a gradiated sort of pattern, I think.
Do you remember Chelsea's grey and orange abomination?
Yeah,
I mean that's still up there.
It's worse than that.
That was one of the cools ones, wasn't it?
This one's worse than that. Wow. I mean, Victor Valdez against Real Madrid when he gifted them that second goal. You see that?
Yeah, but in
the Super Cup.
Oh, yeah, blimey.
Yeah,
right.
So bad. And I wonder what the headlines are going to be the next day. Yeah. And I was expecting it to be Rob Green wears Victor Valdez mask.
It's a bit harsh on Rob. Yeah. Oh, David De Gea did a lovely turn, didn't he, against Fulham?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, lovely. Bit of work.
And gifted him a goal as well, didn't he?
Yeah, well, that wasn't the same incident.
I thought Vidic was going to rip his head off.
Yeah, he went to, didn't he?
Yeah.
But the Super Cup first leg was great, wasn't it? 3-2 Barcelona beat Real Madrid, and it's the second leg is this week. Tune in.
Ramos did a textbook chop.
Yeah, he will do.
Pen.
He will
completely
do.
Took in yesterday.
Oh, and Dani Alves' beard has gone.
Yeah,
it'll come back.
Well, he has the ability to do
he does
being a bloke.
It's better to have bearded than lost to have never bearded at all. That's what I'm saying.
Carlos Puyol's broken his cheekbone as well.
He has, yeah.
How could you tell with that face?
Yeah, has he noticed?
He's like a bag full of lathe scraping.
I think someone horrible. Would have had to have told him as well. You know, you've broken your cheek.
You know, your cheekbone's hanging out of your face.
He did play on, didn't he?
Oh, he will do.
Yeah.
He's one Captain of my favourite defenders.
Captain Caveman, absolutely right.
Yeah. Let's go to a different part of Madrid where Atleti play. And they beat Athletic Bilbao 4-0. Falcao with a hat-trick, with a magnificent hat-trick.
Bloody love Falcao.
The first goal, roasted defender. I mean, it was so...
It was Thomas-esque.
Yeah, it was. It was blistering the way he just, like... It was so rugged. And then the finish was just...
Little dinker.
Delightful.
It was a freight train with velvet wheels, wasn't it?
Beautifully put.
Yeah.
And then the second one, a wonderful stretching volley. And Bilbao have conceded 9 goals in their opening 2 games.
Dicks.
Bielsa's out on his ear if he's not careful.
Bielsa.
The Athletic manager said it was almost perfect. the hat trick.
Still room for
almost.
Room. Yeah, still room for
nice. You've got to keep him motivated.
Yeah. I'd have liked it because he scored one with the left and then the right and then he got a penalty. And I thought, just run at it and launch your head at it.
Yeah. Diving ahead of it.
No, I had to
or
go
do
for
a
it.
Forward roll and then diving head.
I had to go for
like
it.
Torpedo it.
Yeah.
That'd be class.
Brilliant.
And then probably the game of the weekend there was Valencia 3, Deportivo 3. Great comeback from the team from A Coruña. Soldado second, which was, I think, Valencia second, was a great volley from a brilliant setup.
He's an absolute prison player, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Absolute prison player.
He's like the ball was dinked in, and the player like sort of had to stretch a little bit for the volley and knocked it to him, and then a spectacular sort of bicycle kick in. Like, it was flipping brilliant.
He bludgeons a lot of his goals. He does bludgeon a lot of them.
Oh, absolutely delightful. Talking of delightful, Serie A's back.
Hey.
Woo, woo, woo. Yeah, but about that, Jim?
Was that the Serie A train?
Yeah, it was, yeah. The Serie A siren.
Stop it at this station.
He said, oh, come on, you've missed it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Of course you have. Juventus, they've got 3 points. 2-0 against Parma.
But Pirlo, no manager.
No manager. Pirlo scored a free kick that I didn't think went over the line.
I haven't seen that free kick.
It seemed just a bit weird, but it went in and they won.
What are you implying, Marcus? Yeah.
Well,
Calciopoli.
Don't know. Yeah. You had a bet. But yeah, so 2-0. But the Juventus manager, Antonio Conte, is set to miss the whole season.
It's a bit of a funny one, though.
After losing his appeal against a 10-month ban.
So two charges of not reporting match fixing. Mm. One, and they're banned for 10 months. One of which he was cleared of, so everyone then assumed the ban would be reduced. Mm. so they appealed it, but it was upheld. So
but still wasn't his assistant? Didn't he have his ban reduced on appeal as well?
Previously, yeah,
to from 8 to 6.
But the guy who's accused Conte of this has got huge previous. Has served bans in the past, and another little rumour is allegedly that his wife had a massive public falling out with Conte's wife because Conte didn't let this player, because when they're at Siena, Conte didn't let this player go home for the birth of his second child or his first child or something. So she kicked off about it, and now everyone's saying it's basically a vendetta against him. He's a completely unreliable witness. All this sort of stuff. So it's actually quite an interesting story.
Fouling the foul play.
Yeah, for the record, all of that is alleged.
Yeah.
Chase me.
Well, let's move on swiftly then to Milan, who are not having the best of times. They lost 1-0 to newly promoted Sampdoria.
At home as
1-0
well.
1-0 at home. Yeah. Ferrara in charge of Sampdoria, the former Juventus player. Mm. According to reports, there was only 36,000 to see Milan in their first home game of the season.
Horrible seeing that happen, isn't it? It feels like they've been asset stripped.
They've been gutted.
Yeah, I think Paolo Bandini said it was the lowest for an opening game of the season for Milan this millennium.
36,000, though.
No, but...
Well, I know, but yeah. 36,000.
Well, Chelsea had more. I mean, you know what I mean? You could have...
Sheffield Wednesday more than that in the Sheffield Derby.
Yeah.
So
almost,
I hear.
Bear in mind, it's the fourth biggest stadium in Europe, you know.
And they're one of the biggest.
And they're AC Milan.
And they've sold all their players.
But it's not looking good for the Rossoneri. I mean, you know, looking at their best players going forward, they seem to be Montolivo, Prince Boateng, Nocerino, Rubinho. Pato's picked up another injury.
I've seen Pato's in real trouble.
He's still only 22.
And how many injuries has he had, though?
About 13. And that's no exaggeration.
Yeah.
I mean, El Shaarawy is still up and coming. They've brought Pazzini.
Yeah.
This is Milan. Who have they got, really?
Well, they're in a lot of debt, aren't they? It's what happens.
Yeah. Pazzini moved when it was part of the Cassano deal, didn't he? But Pazzini was really poor last season.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's one of those things where if I was a Milan fan and Cassano was a bit of a cut, I know Cassano's an Inter fan and that sort of stuff, but and Cassano left and was replaced with Pazzini, I'd be pissed off, as you want to be honest.
Yeah.
You got to look at Serie A with you know this. I mean, it's early days, obviously, to make any sort of predictions, but with this happening at Milan and Juventus, you know, losing Conte for the whole season, as an Inter fan, you've got to be laughing, surely. You're thinking now's the chance to get back in there.
Massively.
And put the embarrassing last season behind them.
Well, this is it. I mean, you know, Juventus have lost their manager, so you would imagine there's a little bit of disarray there.
They still get their manager during the week, though, just not at games. He's allowed to train them.
So there's an ounce of...
Still, though.
I know, it's stability, them. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously Milan aren't very, very well. You know, as you say, Jim, the likes of Inter, even maybe Roma, dare I suggest, it might be early days for them. But, you know, the top three, as it would be for Champions League spots in Italy now, it's up for grabs very much so. I mean, Roma, they scraped a point in injury time at home in their first game of the season against Catania. Nicolas Lopez.
Osvaldo scored an absolute beauty.
Yeah, delightful De Rossi.
De Rossi sort of like backspinned chip over the top.
Yeah, I've said delightful a lot, but really it's worth it because there's some great goals. You know, that was similar to the Valencia one I talked about. Yeah, it's spectacular. Mm. Sort of stuff.
Not a delight in the podcast this week.
Yeah. Oh, why wouldn't there
we
be?
We make no apologies for that.
De Rossi plays his future to Roma. I did like this. He said... I made my choice 30 years ago and I reaffirmed it when I renewed my contract. It was snowing then and now it's 40 degrees outside. But mine is not a choice that changes with the seasons.
So poetic.
We never have those sort of kind of poetic football.
Very similar to what Paul Scholes said when he came out of retirement.
Well, nothing better to do.
Yeah.
I think I do like the way Roma play with their sort of six midfielders and then like a V shape going forward and all that. It would be great to see if they could make a real impression on the league.
Well, they occasionally win it, don't they? So now it'd be around the time in the rhythm of how Roma win things.
Well, I think they've only won it three times in their history or
something like that.
They won at the turn of the century.
So Inter and Napoli, they won 3-0 away from home, and Hernanez got Lazio season on the go, so it'll be very interesting to see how Serie A pans out. And the Bundesliga was underway as well, Pete, can you believe it?
Yes.
That's because I suppose that happens every year. Dortmund beat Bremen 2-1 in the biggest match of that weekend, in my opinion. Götze with the winner. He'll do that.
Yeah.
And then Greuther Fürth were beaten by Bayern.
Absolutely love it.
It had to be mentioned.
Greuther Fürth, yeah!
They sound like a sort of a band, a German band, like Die Totenhosen or something like that.
Yeah. They
which translates as the Death Trousers.
Ooh. Don't wear them. They would be.
Whatever you do wear them, don't say you weren't warned.
Anyway, before we go to some craziness in South America, we're going to go to League. Because PSG, they got another clean sheet.
It's a solid base they're building in.
Yeah, exactly.
They drew 0-0 at home to Bordeaux. Boos were heard in Paris. 3 points from three games.
I love what Adrian Mutu said. He's just signed for Ajaccio, hasn't he?
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, he's talking about Zlatan. He says, I know him, he's a good friend.
Imagine that.
I can easily imagine that.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's like a hothead convention whenever Zlatan hangs out with his mates. They're all blokes like that.
Yeah.
Well, he went on to say, I take the challenge to see who scores more. What challenge?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose
you've issued a challenge claiming to have accepted one. That's not how it works.
Yeah. Well, even if he is in a better team, it's not a problem for me. I would bet. Money where your mouth is. The team that have off to a flyer is Marseille, who Joey Barton was probably not going to be joining now, winning 1-0 away to Montpellier, the champions, and sitting pretty on top with 9 points from three matches. Mm. That concludes the European football roundup, ladies and gentlemen, because we're off to South America. Because Romario's fired off. Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. The Brazilian congressman that is Romario has had a go at Mano Menezes.
There should be a little pregnant pause there. Brazilian congressman Romario. And then, stop.
And then another one has had a go at Mano Menezes. Yeah.
If only to allow Marcus to pronounce Menezes.
That's
correct.
So dig, Pete?
Menezes.
Dig.
That's how you say it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. He did this... the first time he had a go at him in public was after the Olympic football final, saying, at least we've seen his last game in charge of the national team. Right. So he's, like, picking and choosing now. Who
Say what you really think, Romario.
Indeed. Menezes responded to Romario calling him a sucker. And then Romario, unsurprisingly, didn't let that go. He ranted back with this. Coaches must be able, courageous, fearless, serious and honest. You do not even come close. You have no ability, you imbecile, you idiot. You're gutless, the worst coach of all time. You bring shame to the nation.
Worst coach of all time.
I love it how he's like a runaway freight train. Yeah. He's picking up pace. He's like, you're an idiot. You're
Invisible. It's worth remembering as well. This is like Eric Pickles doing that.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Which probably is actually quite possible. But I'd love them to replace him with Avram Grant. There you go. Now I see you as the worst coach of all time. Mm.
Especially around Carnival, you won't be seeing him much.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Elsewhere in Brazil, this one... has to be mentioned, João Vitor, who plays for Palmeiras, was fined for turning up drunk at training.
Standard.
Yeah. And we had a case of this last season in Brazil, and I think Adriano, as we spoke about before, has done it a few times. But this guy, I think, was fined a bit more because he denied everything. He said, I'm a man, I admit it when I make mistakes, but I never turned up drunk. I just had a long night of it, and the next day I had rum in my breath. That's all.
So it's not...
Like a pirate.
That's crazy. It's like you're saying, I wasn't newly drunk, I was still drunk.
Yeah.
You dicks.
Yeah. I didn't, like, wake up and get on it and then go to train.
You didn't have whiskey in my cornflakes. God.
It was rum.
I love it. I just had a long night of it.
Yeah.
Can we just draw a line under that? Under the carpet it goes. Yeah. I mean, can we get on with training? Yeah. That's why I'm here. Oh, marvellous. We love you, South America. Right, let's go... to Pete, because it's time for a game.
Yes, what was the game last week? I forget.
50-1.
So you missed out on that. Before that was a £1 million drog, and before that last season was going for glory. So you weren't satisfied with 50-1. You said it wasn't new. So I've come up with a new game. Please, pray silence for Family Quinton Fortunes.
Sounds better.
Yeah,
it certainly does.
I'm looking forward to winging this new format.
Right. Who am I? I was born in Gali.
In where?
Gali.
Gali.
Do you even know where that is?
Yes. And I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it. In 2010, the Cypriot club Anorthosis...
Stop. Is it Timuric Itzbaya?
It's Timuric Itzbaya. Shit the bed. Jesus
that
Christ.
That is a good guess.
That is a nightmare. You're a nightmare.
As soon as you said Cypriot.
Do I now get to play the Family Quinton Fortunes big Cypriot. Money game?
Where's he from?
He's Georgian.
You know, he started his career there, though.
Oh, yeah, he managed them.
I mean,
he
was right.
Well, they retired the number 14. You spoiling everyone's fun, Luke, with your good guessing. I played 22 times for Dundee, scored 16 goals for Georgia. I've won the Greek, Georgian and Cypriot domestic cups. I played twice in an FA Cup final. In 97, I scored a goal that put a club into the Champions League for the very first time in their history. Not a fan of Adidas. I am now the manager of Georgia. I am Tamura Ketsbaya. So, well done,
woo-hoo,
Luke.
Nice one.
For winning family Quinton fortunes.
What's up next, Ron?
Marvellous. Now it's time for some correspondence.
Mm.
I've got a tweet here from Jenny Silver. This is regarding the Chippy PA announcers that we spoke about last
week. Oh, yeah, I've got to make a correction about that.
Oh,
last week I said that in the second, at half time at a game that Paul Durkin was officiating, instead of saying welcome the teams back out for the second half, the announcer said, after the referee had a really poor first half, welcome back to the second half of the Paul Durkin show.
Yeah.
When it's actually Uriah Rennie.
Oh, right.
Not
okay.
Paul Durkin. Apologies to Mr. Durkin. He apparently was asked about this and denied it.
Is that right?
One of the listeners must know him or something. So I have to
apologize. I was going to say, Durkin's a great referee.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd be. So I made a mistake. It was Uriah Rennie, which I think we can all get behind.
Well, anyway.
Look forward to speaking to Uriah this week.
Yeah. Jenny Silver said famously at Cirencester Town, the mic was left uncovered as the announcer, who's also the club president, argued, so the whole ground and surrounding homes, him saying, Eddie, never mind the fucking sausages.
That's brilliant.
Never mind the fucking sausages.
Of all the things.
That's brilliant.
But didn't he also tell someone to tell some kids off?
Sorry. Yeah, he did, yeah. There was some. Jenny goes on to say she seems to remember that it was a barbecue. Oh, dear. Yeah, the man of the mic, he was bollocking some kids over the tunnel going, you two stop running.
You two stop
running. You've got to love lowly football
That's probably the youth team.
Yeah, but that reminds me. And this in every season.
Was that Canvey Island? You remember the Canvey Island one? The manager who was the chairman and the groundsman and everything.
Yeah.
Apparently, across the other side of the pitch, if you're a new listener, you won't have heard this story. It's one of the all-time great stories. Over the other side of the pitch, there's a couple of kids sat on top of the portable toilets. And in between giving instructions to his players, apparently the manager just went over and went, oh, you two, get off the roof of that Carsey. It's going to collapse.
Carsey. Don't hear that enough.
Yeah, classic. Oh,
magnificent stuff. Yeah. And now it's time for a profile, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah, we've made it. The end is in sight.
Why don't we sticking with us?
Absolutely.
Unless you didn't, in which case, do one.
Yeah, well,
well you have.
Yeah. Oh, we've got the best player from the country of Ukraine. It's Andrei Shevchenko.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Oh, man, because he retired over the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
He retired, no longer plays football.
What a lovely Indian summer it was to have him in the Euro.
Well, he was born on the 29th of September, 1976.
Oh, 9 years after the summer of love.
After them summer. Oh, what a player he was. And probably still is, really. He could do a job. This is the thing when someone retires at about 35. You know he could put a shift
Who
in
was
somebody.
It on the weekend saying that Michael Laudrup's unequivocally the best player in training at Swansea?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I can't remember what's in it, but yeah, I can imagine it to be true, yeah.
I love that he still plays.
Yeah.
You don't get Ferguson doing that.
No.
You never did.
No.
Oh, maybe. Ferguson was a good player.
Yeah.
To be fair. Anyway, so, yes, Andrei Shevchenko. He was born in a little town just outside Kiev and moved there when he was very young. And he was spotted in a game between sort of neighbouring housing associations, as it was written by Jonathan Wilson in his piece in The Guardian, by the Dynamo Kiev coach, Oleksandr Shapkov. And he was only a young lad, as you can imagine, sort of 11, 12. But, and they said it's really odd because the coach said he wasn't the best, but he applied himself with extraordinary dedication.
Mm.
So put it in, kids.
Bit of the Gary Neville.
Bit of the Gary Nevilles.
Didn't eat quite so much salo as anybody else.
No. Yeah. He was a ball boy at the Olympic Stadium in Kiev as well, wasn't he?
Yeah. His father wanted to, him to join the forces, but he didn't, which was to the benefit of football.
He joined
football.
The strike forces.
Very good. I mean, he started playing at Kiev in 94, although he was there throughout his youth career. I mean, it was great, really, because, I mean, he was sort of Mr. Dynamo Kiev, I think, for those who don't know much about Eastern European football, which I think most of us didn't until the likes of him came along, you know.
He and Rebrov, that partnership they had.
It was absolutely glorious.
I'm sure we'll come on to that.
Yeah. But and what was nice is, of course, come on to it, he went back to Kiev, or Dynamo, later in his career. But he hit the ground running there, and he was scoring goals for fun at Dynamo and endearing himself to the home fans. And as you say, Jimmy, he famously formed one of the best partnerships... For me, in recent years, it really was that good. I mean, I only saw them in the Champions League.
Because they did it in the Champions League as well, so it wasn't the case of that a weak league playing. They did it in the Champions League too.
And they were fantastic together. And it was odd because I always thought that Shevchenko was in front of Rebrov, but actually they used to could switch it sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's all great partnerships do that.
Yeah, but I always envisaged that. Or imagine Shevchenko to be the big, strong centre forward.
Yeah, with Rebrov just in behind.
Yeah, the sort of the tricky player in behind.
But Rebrov loved a long ranger as well, that's the thing.
Oh, he did. Yeah. But Shevchenko, I mean, what a player he was. I mean, he was one of those strikers that just had it all. You know, fierce shot with both feet.
The thing that always used to absolutely amaze me about Shevchenko, his time in Milan in particular, was how if he was in a one-on-one with the goalkeeper, he just always scored.
Yeah,
it was so good at being clinical and doing those basic things right. It was no nonsense with Shevchenko when it came to finishing.
Yeah,
you know? I'd say that. I mean, and your profile's not come to Milan yet, but when he turn of the century at 98-99. I think he's probably the best striker in Europe. You've got to say he's the best striker.
The way he used to turn a play, it was almost big Ronaldo-esque. The way that he'd let the ball come into his body, and then he just the defender didn't have a chance because as soon as he had the ball at his feet, he would just switch and just drop his shoulder, and he'd be past the.
I tell you who he was. You know, personally, I think there's a few comparisons can be made in styles. As you know, when Shearer was in his heyday, and he would, as you say, turn defenders, he would shoot from distance.
No, he wouldn't shoot from distance. He would larrup it.
Yeah. You know,
just that opening up of the body, and just sort of like, and it would always go top right or top left or something where you just
you're in the air after having shot.
The season he got the move to Milan was it 99? He moved to Milan.
Yeah.
In the 98-99 season, obviously the famous season that United won the treble. Dynamo Kiev went out in the semis to Bayern Munich, didn't they?
Well, the season before that, we will come there in just a sec, Luke. The season before that was when he really got noticed by...
he got over 30 goals that season, didn't he?
Yeah, but it was the hat-trick at the Nou Camp.
Oh, wait, yeah, they won 4-0.
They did.
Yeah, and Barcelona had, they had Reitziger, Figo, Rivaldo... Kuto was playing. They had some good players as well.
Yeah, I mean,
that was the season they had the same group as Newcastle, Pete.
Yeah.
And Newcastle beat him as well, didn't they? Espria scored.
I mean, it wasn't a great Barca side, but we've been spoilt with the team in the last sort of five, 6, 7 years, whatever it's been. So, you know, they were still decent. I mean, a hat trick at the Nou Camp.
4-0 at the Nou Camp. Any era is decent.
Yeah, exactly. In the 20s.
With the odds you would have got on that before the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. And what I found quite amusing was Vitobio was in goal for Barcelona. Very highly decorated player.
I think he was the most highly decorated player in Europe until Giggs beat his record.
I believe so. Shevchenko ended his career that night at Barcelona. I think that was his last game or something like that.
Really?
Couldn't.
Yeah. He was only 27.
Yeah. I mean, and Shevchenko was only about 21 when this happened, you know, so that's when people really recognised him. And then in 98-99, you're absolutely right, Luke, they got to the semi-finals and perhaps should have reached the final. They were 3-1 up at home against Bayern, and Bayern scored, I think, 78 and 90, so 3-all, and then won.
As they did back then.
Yeah, and then won the leg.
And they knocked out Real Madrid in the quarters.
They did. They really should have. That was the season. And against Manchester United in the final, who knows?
But I think Sheva scored over 30 goals in those two seasons. Two seasons with Kiev, he scored over 30 goals.
He was absolutely fantastic.
I think is he the third highest goal scorer in European competition ever?
In Champions League.
Is it Inzaghi and Raul?
Yeah.
That'd be about right, yeah.
That's right, yeah. I mean, he had a great time at Dynamo Kiev, you know, won the league in each of his five seasons there. And like we say, in the Champions League, you know, because they were a force in the Champions League. They were in Arsenal's group one year, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
Arsenal
beat
us
as well.
Yeah, they drew one all at Wembley.
That's when Arsenal moved their games to Wembley. They were shocked, didn't they?
That's so nice in a country that's quite a young country, having the focal point of your attack for Dynamo Kiev was a man who grew up just outside here and stuff, and it's winning the league every single year. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. Never happens. Rarely happens.
Yeah, but that's right. Nobody knew anything about Ukraine. Well, you know, perhaps younger generations and whatnot. And he really was Mr. Ukraine, wasn't he? He was the driving
force.
That's
your one. we want to see him again.
Yeah. You know, he was such a driving force, and he put them on the map. He put Dynamo Kiev back on the map, because obviously they've always been there. They're a wonderful club, incredible history. But for perhaps our generation, you know, that we didn't really know too much about them. So for them to do those performances in the Champions League was absolutely brilliant. And then for the next few seasons, they were one of those clubs where people would be like, oh, crap, you've got Kiev in your group, you know.
Whereas that's
kind of fallen away in recent years. And probably Shakhtar, actually, have probably kicked on a little bit from them. But inevitably, after that 98-99 season, the big clubs were fighting for his signature. And he joined Milan in 1999, which I think was for a world record transfer fee, around €25 million at the time, I think. And he won the Serie A Golden Boot in his first season.
He hit the ground running, I remember that.
Yeah, and not many people have done that. Mm. I think Big John Charles did.
Yeah.
The Welsh legend. One goal he scored, which sticks out for me, was the goal against Juventus, where he... I think he just twisted up like David's Ferrara Montero and it slotted past Buffon. Like, it was just ridiculous.
That's outrageous.
It was absolute class.
I just remember he scored a brilliant header. He used to score in the big games as well. He scored a brilliant header when they beat Inter 2-0 in the Milan derby.
Yeah.
He also scored... Was he not... When Milan won the league in 2004 for the first time in ages, like 5 or 6 years, he was top scorer in Serie A that season as well. And there's a one goal he scored against Lazio, who I don't know who it is. It's on the right-hand side of the box, back to goal. Sort of knee juggles it, chest juggles it. It sort of goes over his shoulder, tries to volley it in from a ridiculous angle. It gets blocked, hits a defender, loops up to Shevchenko on the other side of the box, and just volleys it in straight away, as if to say, "Look, that's how you do it." One volley, doesn't take a touch, just smashes it in. It's an amazing goal. It sums him up so well.
Yeah, that's it. For such a, he was a sort of a no nonsense player, but did it with.
Oh, well, with that sort of, you know, clinical efficiency.
Direct.
Indeed. And around that sort of time when he was scoring a lot of goals in 2002, the Ukraine, they failed to get to the World Cup in that year. But he scored 10 goals in qualification, you know. Mm. It's remarkable, really, how he's... I mean, Ukraine's all-time top scorer with 48 goals.
That's why it's so good to have him that summer when his country hosted the Euros. He scored a goal. That's exactly what everyone wanted.
He's the greatest ever player, and you know, it must be absolutely incredible for them to have had him, you know, in recent years.
Well, he's everywhere in Ukraine. Isn't it? We're in Kiev.
Dominated.
But it's also nice that he went abroad to play for Milan, who were on top of Europe for certainly a season or two. And so for one of their guys to have done his time in Ukraine, he was obviously too big for that league, and then went away, and then he came back. I mean, at Milan, you know, he won the Champions League. He scored the decisive penalty in 2003-04 in Manchester, I think it was. And then, of course, the following year, missed the crucial one against Liverpool, which was a real shame. But he won the Scudetto in 2003-2004, which was his only one.
Yeah, because it was the first time Milan won it for ages.
But it's so funny, I thought he probably had about three
league
titles.
Yeah, that is weird to think, isn't it?
Yeah, they won the Coppa Italia.
Maybe he's not that good after all.
Yeah, that's true. And in his last season with Milan, he became the club's second top scorer. Leaving with 175 goals in 296 games.
Behind Garn O'Dowd, isn't it, I think?
Behind Garn O'Dowd.
Yeah, yeah.
Fellow Dwarfer. And World Cup 2006, Ukraine, they got there, and they got to the quarterfinals. It was a good showing, and again, it was great to see him in amongst them.
Because they were quite boring in that tournament, though, weren't
they? Well, you know, but it's he's one of those players where, you know, when you used to think about someone like George Weah, another Milan legend, of course, you think, it would be great to see him on the world stage at a big tournament.
Well, Giggs and Georgie Best.
There you go,
like
all
that,
those. Yeah. And it was great that he wasn't one of them.
I think Ukraine are probably a step above those sort of also runners.
They are. And, absolutely, absolutely. But still, you know, you've got to qualify, and it's not easy, as we all know. And then he went to Chelsea for 30 million, and it didn't quite work out.
It's weird because it started well.
Injuries, though.
Yeah, but it started really well. He looked devastating in his first couple of games, and it just sort of petered out very quickly.
His goal scoring record isn't as bad as was touted. I mean, people who maybe don't look at it that forensically will go, oh yeah, it was a massive flop. He did actually score goals,
but they play him sometimes when he was carrying injuries, which you don't necessarily see now in this day and age. But I think they just thought, like, god, we need something out of him, because that was a hell of a lot of money.
And Abramovich wanted him so bad. They were chasing him for years before he
Mourinho
actually
signed. Clearly didn't want him as well.
I think he had a serious back injury as well. Like.
Well, I think he forced himself to play in the World Cup.
We've made a lot of excuses for him there, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
We fought his corner.
You know, he didn't have a close season for the first time in his career. Mm. Going into that, and he was at that age where, you know, he was in his late 20s. He probably could have done with it. Okay, some of his performances weren't great for Chelsea, but it's just one of those ones. It was just set up the wrong way, and I think the big thing was Mourinho pretty much let everybody know, you may be the big man, Abramovich, and you might have brought him in, but I don't really want him.
Yeah, and I think I still think he remained popular at Stamford Bridge. I've spoken to the Chelsea fans who all really liked him.
Yeah.
He worked really hard for the team. He seemed like a likeable character. Yeah. He's known as a pretty nice guy and stuff as well.
He scored a lovely one against Aston Villa. Mm. I think that was a left foot into the top corner. Mm. And then he was loaned back to Milan, of course, but that didn't work out too well, unfortunately. But then in 2009, he went back to Dynamo Kiev. And what was nice that he scored against Inter in the Champions League for Kiev.
I'm still here, boys.
They just couldn't get away from him because he's the all-time top scorer in Milan Derby with 14 goals. And then Ukraine failed to qualify for the 2010 World Cup. He did score at Wembley, which was probably a nice moment for him, even though they lost 2-1. And he was keen to be involved in the European Championships in 2012.
Well, he actually said on record, the fact that Ukraine are hosting the Euros has prolonged my career for like two or three seasons because I'm so focused on being there for it. Yeah. And he was always going to retire after it, you know.
And it was glorious that he got his moment against Sweden.
Couple of headers.
Yeah. And it was absolutely fantastic. And
Zlatan let him nip in front of him, didn't he?
I think so.
I think that was a charitable act from the big man. Yeah. Almost just appalling marking, yeah. Who can we put on their best striker? Yeah. Zlatan, he'll mark him. Rubbish decision.
The man who would think twice about rescuing his own grandmother from a burning house.
Yeah. No, she's had a good life.
If she was in the next room, she sat next to him, maybe. Yeah.
But it was like Kiev had won the tournament, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because we went out there very shortly after
obviously.
That. Of course, Ukraine. And oh my goodness, that they were made up. I think they'd almost thought that they were through.
Yeah.
In the group.
Well,
they
looked a threat at that time. Mm. You know,
they outplayed England for a few parts of the game against them. You know.
And it's hard to, as you alluded to before, it's hard to explain precisely how much he dominates, certainly Kiev, as a city. He is everywhere. I don't think he'll ever want for any money because he's on every single crisp packet.
He was on the change trays packet. In the supermarket.
But it was so great that he got that moment, scoring the two goals after they were goal down in his beloved
one of Ukraine. Europe's great strikers for all time.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, Andriy Shevchenko. Come on into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
And in Ukrainian Independence Day as well, the week of.
There you go. Not a coincidence. that's it for this week, kids. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. And the website is thefootballramble.com. Mm.
Yeah, facebook.com/footballramble as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, get yourself over to thefootballramble.com. You know how good it is by now. I'll tell you every week. Get over there.
Yeah.
I'd also just like to thank everybody that came to see my show at the Edinburgh Festival. It was hugely, hugely appreciated. And yes, it was lovely to meet you all. Thank you.
There you go. Also from me, if anyone's going down to the Paralympics, I'll be doing a bit of hosting at the Riverbank Arena for the football.
Oh, very nice.
So come down and say howdy. Specifically howdy. That's it. Right then. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye,
Jim. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from Luke.
Goodbye.
See you next week.
I don't think that I am injury prone. One massive injury at 19, the injuries went from right to left hamstring, and then it came up to groins and hernias, and then it went and my knee. Obviously, my knee was the same side as my original hamstring, and I broke my foot.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.